I can't do it.
Okay.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Right.
Fucking thing sucks.
In 5, 4, 3.
Anyone claiming that America's economy is in decline is peddling fiction.
I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Raising the debt ceiling does not increase our debt. It does not somehow promote profligacy.
I know words. I have the best words. Nobody knows the system better than me, which is why I alone can fix it.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Peddling Fiction Podcast. I'm your host, the voice and soul of so-called fiction, Johnny Profita. And back with me to get this Friday going is Justin Hillbilly Boy Campbell. How you doing, man?
Oh, tired. It's been a week, but I'm here.
Yeah, I hear that. There's a truck coming by, so perfect timing.
You had a rough day with the markets the other day. We had, I don't know if I talked about it on Tuesday. We had a shutdown over the weekend for Easter, and the company that runs like all of the software stuff for the building, like the program that literally runs everything, they decided to make a bunch of updates and stuff. So we come in on Monday and literally half of our shit doesn't work. So we spend all day Monday trying to get like white knuckle through it and make the best of it. Tuesday they get most of it back up and running, and then another major piece of equipment had a mechanical failure and they couldn't find a part for that. So it was like Thursday midday sometime before they got the part for it. Everything was just
oh my God.
I've worked harder in the last 4 days than I have in the last 2 years.
Yeah, rough couple of days in the market is an understatement for me. I don't know what the, I didn't lose a lot of money, but I just missed out on like the trade of a lifetime yesterday. I don't know what the fuck happened. The market just completely dumped yesterday afternoon and I was in a short earlier. Of course I got stopped out of it and then it sets up again and I'm trying to get in and it's like, so with this broker I'm using now for this one platform, I have to type out the entry and everything so I can put a stop in. And so I'm typing out the entry. I want to get in at 5303 is the number. And when I pull up the trade, I guess the market moved down below 5300. So it changed the market entry to 5299 or something. And I didn't notice. So I just erased it and I changed it to 5203 instead of 5303. And so I hit trade and it just puts me in at the market, which is where the market was exactly. And it was like 4 points below where I wanted to enter. And I was like, all right, that's weird. Maybe I typed it in wrong. So I canceled the trade at break even. And then I did it again, did the exact same thing. And then there's a knock at the door. The cleaning lady's coming in and I'm just like, all right, I canceled it one more time. And then I came in, let her in. I sat back down and I'm trying to figure out what the hell's going on. And I was like, oh, I didn't change it. Like it changed it to the 5200 level instead. It's just weird that it put me in the trade, even though I put an entry that was 100 points lower than where the market was. And of course, right after I got out of the trade the second time, the market ripped 100 points to the downside in the next like hour. Just nothing but down closed candles. It would have been, there's no way I would have held the entire position all the way down to the bottom. But if I had, it would have been a $10,000 trade, risking $250 to make 10 G's. So hang on, I gotta go get my coffee. I'll be right back. Say something intelligent.
That would have been an incredibly nice day. It's really funny the way the markets work. Like sometimes there's not a whole lot of I don't know. Like I'm more familiar with like the commodity markets, the grain side of stuff, and agricultural markets. But like sometimes you just have a day where shit starts moving for no reason. And then once it gets to moving, you're like, oh shit, do I like try to ride this or do I just watch it? Like, what do I do? Then you got, and like in the business that I was in where like we were like the middlemen for the farmers. So then we're trying to watch the board and figure out what the fuck's going on while they're just bombarding us. It's like, stop fucking calling and let me watch it for like 30 minutes so we can get an idea. Like, I don't even know what to tell you because I don't know what's happening yet. And they're all sitting at home on their fucking computers watching the same thing and thinking the same thing and wanting answers. And we don't have answers either.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing
is, it's fun and it's exciting and it can also make you pull your hair out. And I understand why, like, what was the like Black Friday thing where people were like jumping off of buildings and shit. Like, I get it.
Yeah. I mean, when you got serious money on the line, it's tough to, I mean, it's kind of part of the game. It's not for everybody. That's for sure. And it's there's a roller coaster of emotions that you go through with just about every trade. You gotta learn how to manage it. Like that was, I just had fear of missing out. I mean, I got so fucking frustrated after I saw it, like even just the first move. Yeah, I just gave up on the move because it hit my target in like 5 seconds. I was like, oh shit, that was the move I was looking for. I missed it. And I just like cleaning leaves here. I was like, I'm going to go up on the roof, sun myself a while, sit, you know, shake that one off. And then I checked back and I was like, oh, it just kept going. It's another 50 handles and another 50 after that. And it was like, it's very frustrating kind of thing. You have the fear of missing out and then you want to, and when you take losses, there's like a revenge thing that you want to do. And you learn a lot about yourself. The market exposes your flaws better than possibly anything in the world when you're in short-term trades. So it's pretty interesting, but yeah, I don't trade I don't trade fundamentals on like a daily basis. I'm literally just looking at the chart. And if I see setups, I take them, but I do have to come up with, I guess you would call it like a narrative for why I think the market's going to move in a certain direction. And then I look for setups to sort of back up my theory. And then I take the trade. And
that's the nice thing about the commodity markets to a large extent is it's very based on like reality. Like you can look at what the weather's doing in the Corn Belt and you can look at other factors and you can look at like how much China's buying from Brazil, how much Europe is buying, how different, how the Brazilian crop is looking. Like you can look at a lot of different stuff and get a pretty good, and also because harvest season happens basically the same time of year every single year, you know, a pretty good time frame during the course of the year, like when things are going to start to dump out, when things are going to start to pick up. And then you just got to kind of like time the runs and play it that way. Like I don't know if I could do the kind of stuff you do. There's too much volatility. Like at least I understand a grain market on a global scale, and like I know when Brazil's having their harvest, I know when we're having harvest, I can, you know, follow weather patterns and stuff and look at that stuff and understand. Like sometimes, like you're talking about, like sometimes it just starts to make a run and you've got to figure out why and then decide which way you're going to go with it.
Yeah or you just sit it out like I did yesterday, and it's just like the thing that really sucked was I was accidentally in the trade of my life. It was like God was trying to, he's like, no, you want to be in right here. And I was like, no, I want to be in just up there. I was trying to, it was basically adding $400 worth of risk to the trade that I didn't want to take on. So I was like, nope, I want to be in up there. And it was literally the top of the fucking, it never came up to that level again after I canceled the trade. And it never came up ever. Like it didn't retrace at all. It was just like womp all the way down. And it would have been such a fun trade to be in. But yeah, you just kind of got a lap. I mean, it could have been worse. I guess it could have gone the other way on me really fast and I could have lost a bunch of money. But yeah, you just can't. You can't risk more than you're willing to lose. And it's kind of just a game of it. It's almost like professional losing. like you can lose a lot and still be profitable. And you just kind of got to manage that and your risk and everything like that. And you just got to realize that losing is part, like it's the majority of the game. I mean, there are some really good traders out there that have like win rates over 50%. You know, 60%, 80% win rates. Like they're insane short-term day traders. Like they're really good at it. To be profitable though, you really only need to be right like 25% of the time if you have the right kind of model and the risk reward setup and everything. So you get used to taking your lumps, I guess I should say.
It was like we were talking about the other day, like some days you're just trying to minimize your losses. Like you're not gonna win. You just have to try to not lose too much.
Yep. Yeah, and
I think that's a hard. I think in our modern culture, losing is so stigmatized as a bad thing. Like people have a lot of trouble with it, and that's why they yeah. don't like the markets. That's why they stay away from that kind of stuff because they can't handle even like minimal losses, much less like taking massive hits on shit on a yeah. daily basis.
Right, like I'm not a good loser. I'll put it that way. I'm very competitive in nature. I don't lose very often. There's not a lot of things I'm not good at kind of thing. But the market trading has humbled me quite a bit. And I don't want to say you get used to losing, but you have to change your mindset, I guess, when it comes to that and manage your losses so that they don't upset you too much. And you try not to take too many. And like, if I take two in a day, I have to turn everything off and just get away from. The problem is like you have it on your phone now too, where it's just like, I could trade on my phone if I was like a fucking addict, but yeah.
Well, speaking of managing losses and learning how to lose well, the fast food industry in California is about to get a hard lesson in all of that.
Let's go through some updates. We've got some updates on the $20 minimum wage so far. It's been about a week.
This week, California raised the minimum wage for fast food workers to $20 an hour. The bloodbath has already begun. Pizza Hut laid off 1,200 employees. Mod's Pizza closed 5 of their California branches. Foster's Freeze shut down and laid off all of their employees. Vitality Bowls cut their staff in half and hiked their menu prices by 10%. Menu prices are already starting to rise all over. I mean, this is just tip of the iceberg kind of shit.
Yeah, right. It's just getting started. I mean, it's not like they didn't know that this was coming as well. I don't know if all these restaurants and things were like anticipating that they were going to go back on it just because of all the inflation and the way the economy is in general. But yeah, they're not hesitating. It's not like, oh yeah, we're going to pass it on to customer. Like some of these places are just like, nope, I can't even, like I've already raised my prices a bunch. I can't raise them anymore. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's one of the things is like a lot of these, I know McDonald's has talked about bringing their prices back down on some of the value menu and different stuff, like the combos and stuff. Like they acknowledge that their pricing has started to get a little bit out of hand. And so they are talking about how they can go about reeling it back in and bringing their prices back down to maybe not to levels that they were at, like, you know, like Subway, the $5 footlong is never coming back, but maybe the $6, 6-inch is not going to stay forever. So like McDonald's is already talking about ways to scale their pricing back. I guarantee you it's going to involve cutting more employees and adding more automation, which, I mean, what are the odds that the automated system is going to fuck up your order the way the average
and it's not like this food takes a lot of finesse or something. It's garbage. Like let a fucking machine just pile it up and give it to you. It is amazing just how, like, I almost never go to these places, but like the last time I was in a McDonald's or something, I was like, holy shit, dude, this is some serious prices. You don't feel like you're getting a deal at all. Like there's no value there.
I've gotten to the point that, like, especially if I, like, have to spend the day in town for some reason, like kids have stuff going on or I've got stuff going on and it doesn't make sense for me to come home after I take them to school. Like, I'm not going somewhere for fast food. I'm going to go to, like, a nice restaurant and sit down, and it's going to cost me 15, 18 bucks for, you know, a drink and whatever my lunch is going to be. If I go to McDonald's or Subway or Arby's or something, it's going to cost me about 15 bucks. So it's like, why would I go get garbage food at a fast food place when I can go sit down at a nice place, have a beer, watch TV? You know, it just,
yeah, it is interesting. Like, I don't understand what's driving their costs up so much on that kind of garbage food. Maybe it is just all the labor stuff. I don't know, but yeah, that can go away pretty easily. That stuff is very, very automatable. And it just lends itself. That's like the natural progression for the fast food industry. It lends itself perfectly to that. The human beings serving the fast food is the only, like, thing bringing it down. It's like their Achilles heel. You got these idiots that don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to do anything, and now they're demanding much higher wages. And it's like, yeah, no, we'll get a robot to do this.
I bet you they could figure out how to automate the ice cream machine where it actually works at McDonald's.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, we'll keep tabs. I mean, this will be an interesting experiment. Although, again, dude, $20 an hour in California, I didn't think was that, like, that crazy. But I don't know what a lot of fast food. I know, like, In-N-Out Burger was paying close to, they were paying like 18 bucks an hour on average or something. So,
nuts.
Yeah, it costs a lot to live out there. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. I'm sure it'll work out wonderfully. What's going on, Corey? Sorry, I just saw your message.
Well, speaking of all of that, the apparently the 99 cent only stores are closing all 370 locations. I didn't know there was a 99 cent only store, but with, I guess this is proof that inflation is not, in fact, transitory. If the 99 cent stores are going out of business, that means it's never going back down.
Yeah, a dollar than what it used to. I mean, I can't believe they've stayed in business this long. Is there anything for an actual dollar that you can get at these dollar stores?
I don't know. See, like the Dollar General and the Dollar Tree and stuff like that. Like, they've kind of changed their branding. Like, they're not the same as they were when we were, you know, teenagers, yeah, and like in, like, high school
or stuff, but it's all over a dollar.
Right. Like, they've become more of a like cheaper convenience store than anything. They're not truly like dollar stores anymore. So yeah. I don't know.
I remember this. There was a store in my neighborhood growing up. This is how old I am now. It was a penny store. It was like, instead of the 99 cent store, it was the 1 cent store. And it wasn't around very long. And they had like a bunch of weird shit in there. Like, I never really bought anything from it, but it did exist for like the first like 6 or 7 years of my life. I think there was a penny store in this little shopping center. And yeah, that's not that long ago, not even 40 yet. 15% of the U.S. population has an IQ of 80 or less. Yeah. Well, you know, like somebody always said, the world needs plenty of ditch diggers too. So, yeah, they're going to wish they didn't fucking legislate themselves out of their cushy fast food jobs, which I'm sure it's not fun to work in a fast food store, but it's better than roofing or ditch digging.
Well, yeah. And like any like entry level factory job is going to pay 20 bucks. And those are pretty low on the list, or like pretty low in terms of like prerequisite skill to get in the door. Like my wife does hiring for a company that works with a big auto manufacturer, and they like install, they do like dashboards and other stuff. Like they're part of the assembly line putting cars together. And like their entry level is, do you have a GED? Like that's it. You don't have to be like a skilled laborer or anything like that. If you show up, they'll show you what to do, and nothing about it is difficult. And they start out at like $22 an hour. So like you don't have to be particularly skilled to do something. You might have to actually fucking work, but you know, like you don't have to have a degree or anything to get a decent job anymore.
Yeah, a lot of that's you train them how to do it, especially like manual labor things. Like it's not anybody can do it. It's just whether or not you have the I don't know, the personality to persevere through it and do manual labor or something physical for an entire day consistently and do a good job with it. I mean, yeah, you can teach. I mean, I started working in a paint store when I was 15. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about paint. It was mostly, you know, you start out just unloading trucks and stocking shelves and stuff like that. And when you prove you can do that and you prove that they can depend on you, then they show you how to mix paint and then they show you how to match colors. And then, you know, you can command a higher wage.
It was funny because me and my brother were talking about it over the weekend when I was home. I was riding in the tractor with him, laying out a field and doing some different stuff. And it's like we both started out when we were, as soon as we were like old enough and basically tall enough to reach all the levers and pedals and everything, they put us in a tractor and you were pulling a bush hog, mowing down corn stalks in a field. And once you got good at like driving straight lines and not tearing anything up with the bush hog, then you got upgraded to a disc. And once you got good with a disc, then you get upgraded to the drill. And then once you did that, like there was a progression from which, you know, we both started when we were like 9, 10 years old driving equipment and stuff. And by the time we graduated high school, we drove everything and knew how to do everything. But, you know, there's a start learning and you have a progression. And that's the way every job is. Like it's all on the job. Yeah. More like
right,
like as an employer, when we would be going to job fairs and stuff and like recruiting kids for like management positions and stuff, it's a lot more in the conversation with them. How easy is this kid going to be to break from their brainwashing of thinking that they actually know anything? Like as soon as you show up on the job, you have to throw everything that you just spent 4 years learning in college out the fucking window so that we can break you and start to teach you what you actually need to know. Because literally 100% of that is useless.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? How many employers say that they have to undo your stupid, overpriced, worthless college degree before you can start learning for them? And to your other point where it's like, that's why the minimum wage is so toxic, because it eliminates those lower rungs on the ladder. So now you can't just walk in there knowing nothing. Like, dude, I was making the minimum wage when I started at that paint. It was like $5.50 an hour or something. And it wasn't long before they, it was $5.50 or $5.75. I don't know. It wasn't long before they bumped me up like a dollar an hour. I remember that. And I was like, fuck yeah, now I'm making some real money. But it's like $6.75 an hour. But like, if you eliminate that, like they're not going to hire me at $20 an hour to work in the paint store with no experience to just unload, like to do anything that a monkey could do. So they're going to hire somebody that already knows how to do the things that can command a $20 an hour wage. And then that guy is also going to have to unload. I mean, I had to unload the truck. You always have to unload the trucks unless you're the boss. But like, you know what I mean? Like you're going to have to do a lot of the grunt work as well that would go to some young kid who wants to get his foot in the door, but he's been legislated out of that opportunity. It's just the dumbest thing ever. It's just like, we're going to take away opportunities for people to excel because we don't think that it's a good deal for them. And it's like, who the fuck are you over in Washington, D.C. taking fucking millions of dollars and kickbacks and all this shit, $175,000 base salary, $1 million travel expenses for the year. couple houses, an entire staff to do shit for you, ghostwriter. Like, these people don't do anything. They work like a couple of months out of the year. It's ridiculous. And all they do is fuck things up.
Well, speaking of all of these houses, I wonder if once the immigrant crisis really hits its peak, if any of them will be required to give up their houses to house the immigrants. Just then, homeowners in the United Kingdom have been told that compulsory selling of homes will be enforced to house illegal migrants. Elderly people are being told their houses are too big for them and they need to sell.
This is, go ahead and play it.
Suzanne, where are we going to put these people? The uncomfortable truth, as far as I can see it, is that we are going to have tent cities of asylum seekers popping up around the UK.
Well, I think you summed it up beautifully, Patrick, just the huge pressure that we're seeing now on accommodation. And that does seem to be the only answer. But I'm actually a little bit more worried than that, because I think this is all getting very sinister now. We know that we've had people who have been told that their properties are going to be compulsory purchased for asylum seekers. That pretty much tears up private property rights in this country. I was listening to the radio on the way here, and they were talking about a massive problem facing Britain, which was older people living in houses that were, quote, too big for them. Who's got a right to tell you your house is too big for you? You should be allowed to live where you darn well like. And the implication was very clear. These elderly people are taking houses that they shouldn't have. And I fear that's a worry, that there'll be some kind of move to get them out of those houses. We've also had the horrible scenario last week when Matthew Paris, writing in The Times, talked about how euthanasia wouldn't be a bad thing if it encouraged elderly people to hasten their own deaths. So what? We've got to pop our clogs, have we, forcibly, when we're 60, 70, 80, 90, perhaps earlier, if we're not productive people in society, as Matthew Paris said it. So I think the whole thing now is getting really, really sinister and scary. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is getting pretty fucking ridiculous. And this is what this has eminent domain written all over it. They're just going to, that we've already given the government the ability to do that. They can be like, oh, well, we have a better use for this land or this property, so we're just going to force you to sell it. And now they can do that. Now they can do that just to house people that they let in to rig the election for them.
Well, and this isn't even like, this isn't even speculative. This, like,
it's happening.
This is actually happening.
Right.
Like, the article here, our council tried to force us to sell our 200,000-pound home to make room for asylum seekers. An elderly couple's horror after strongly worded letter lands on their doorstep. Basically, the letter was like, hey, y'all are going to have to give up your home. Like,
yeah.
Like, fucking nuts.
It is. Yeah, it's not happening in the U.S. yet.
Yet.
But we've given them the authority. We've given the government the authority to do this sort of thing. Yes, they haven't used it yet in this scenario, but they can take your property from, they can force you to sell your property, and they can for like the price. They can just demand that you sell it at this price. Be like, this is the price that we think is fair, and we have a better use for your land or your house or whatever. So we're essentially going, I mean, it's the fucking mafia. We're just taking this from you, and we're going to give you what we think is fair. And we gave them this authority long time ago, and now they can use it for whatever they want. It's the classic camel's nose under the tent, and just, it's ripe for fucking abuse like this. And so, yeah, why? Of course. I mean, like, they're bringing in all of these illegal immigrants. Do you have that chart for the registered voters without ID?
Yeah, let me.
I mean, this, like, so
you said a lot,
there's a couple of ways. Yeah, I sent it probably this morning. I sent a lot of stuff. Sorry. I had a couple free minutes. I was like, let me just go through my bookmarks and send everything to Justin.
There is 386,422 new voters registered without a photo ID in a single week. 277,077 of those new voters are in Texas.
Right. So, I mean, this, it seems pretty obvious that they're allowing these borders to stay open for a number of reasons, but one of them is they're going to get unregistered voters to flip the fucking election in their favor. Like, I don't even know how you could argue against this, like what they're doing. There's a, you know, last time it was like, all right, we're going to use COVID to steal the election. Now it's like, I don't know if we can use COVID again. We're probably going to try with the whole bird flu thing that we can get into a little later on in the show. But this is like another angle that they're taking. It's like, okay, yeah, maybe we can't play the same card, but we can do this. We can bring in a bunch of unregistered voters, give them a bunch of free shit, promise them the world, and register them to vote. And then we'll give them other people's houses too.
I'm wondering how that's going to work out, because there are some red states and swing states that put additional state legislation in place following the 2020 election, requiring certain ID and putting, you know, the racist voter restrictions on everything, but requiring a certain level of proof of who you are in order to be able to vote, that would go a long way to stymie some of that. Like if they registered without an ID and then they show up to vote also without an ID, they're going to get turned away. So that would,
you would hope so. It's literally like the most basic thing ever. Like doesn't every country in the world, maybe, I don't know, maybe there's one other one that doesn't demand that you prove you are who you say you are when you vote. It's such a bizarre, like, it's the most important thing ever. You know, it's the sacred right that everybody has, and it's so vital to the success of the country. But we don't care if you are who you say you are when you do it. It's just like, how could you possibly hold those two things at once in your mind without just going absolutely insane?
Well, and the illegal crisis isn't just happening here in the U.S. or in the United Kingdom. Crazily enough, Canada is also having their share of problems with it.
Yeah, this is classic.
It's really important to understand the context around immigration. Every year, we bring in about 450, now close to 500,000 permanent residents a year. And that is part of the necessary growth of Canada. It benefits our citizens, our communities, it benefits our economy. These are the levels that we have stabilized and grown steadily over the past years, because that's what Canada needs to continue to have a strong economy and strong communities. However, over the past few years, we've seen a massive spike in temporary immigration, whether it's temporary foreign workers or whether it's international students in particular, that have grown at a rate far beyond what Canada has been able to absorb. To give an example, in 2017, 2% of Canada's population was made up of temporary immigrants. Now, we're at 7.5% of our population comprised of temporary immigrants.
That's a crazy number, dude. They're close to 10% of their population is temporary residents.
Right. Immigrants. Like,
yeah. By the way, great. Canada, dude, Trudeau is like, I think it's become in vogue to hate Trudeau now in Canada. It didn't used to be years ago, but now it's like, it's kind of popular. It's like the popular opinion to hate on this guy now.
So, and like with that population level of temporary immigrants being that high, and then when you also consider how condensed all of Canada's population is to like just a couple pretty small parts of the country, like the overwhelming majority of the country is just bears and woods. Like there ain't shit going on. Like, all of the people are basically in like three or four spots. And most of those spots are like right on the U.S. border, because apparently even the Canadians don't like it that cold. so like that's a lot. That's a lot of people being crammed into not a lot of space.
Yeah. And dude, there's almost every day I see another video from some Canadian just talking about how much they're struggling. Like their real estate is insanely expensive. They're in the same position as like younger Americans are, where it's just like impossible for them to even imagine trying to buy property. They live in these little tiny, like in Toronto and stuff. Like the real estate's just so expensive in the city. You end up paying just crazy amounts of money for like 500 square feet. There was actually this report that came out. A Canadian buddy of mine that lives down here in Mexico, I always talk to him about this sort of thing. But there was this report from their mounted police that they had to basically do a Freedom of Information Act, the equivalent, to get it, you know, exposed. A lot of it was redacted, but it was just talking about like how they're expecting just like civil unrest over the next couple of years. Like everything's just going to shit. And they're kind of preparing for the worst. The coming period of recession will accelerate the decline in living standards that younger generations have witnessed compared to earlier generations. Expect civil unrest when the citizens realize how screwed the economic situation is. For many Canadians under 35, unlikely ever be able to buy a place to live. Yeah, it's... Everything that happens up there, they're sort of the canary in the coal mine, it seems like, for the U.S.
Well, and, you know, I guess on a positive note for all of these young Canadians that aren't going to be able to afford to, like, live at all, Canada is constantly expanding their medical assistance in death. They will gladly help you unalive yourself if you can't afford to live.
Yeah, they're not even. That's a real fucking picture. Jesus.
Yes. I don't think they intended it that way, but
no, I mean, but it...
when you understand. Did we talk about this recently? So I talked about the maid stuff. Back in like December of 22, I think it was, because at the time MAID was about to get expanded, like it was already ramping up to the point where basically it was what doctors were suggesting. Like, hey, have you considered killing yourself? Because we're not going to pay for your treatment on this. And then they were getting ready to expand it to, toddlers, like as low as, or like as young as like toddler age. And also, like if you had some sort of a terminal thing that there was nothing they could do, then they'll just help you off your toddler. It's fine. Also they go
like Down syndrome kids, yeah, or kids with autism.
Well, and then mental health, they were going to expand it to, addiction and mental health. So like if you've got, you know, something legitimately fucked up and wrong with your brain, instead of helping you get, you know, treatment and instead of helping you get treatment and like see a counselor or, you know, get therapy or whatever, like put you on all of the drugs that the US doctors will put you on, just like or we can just like kill you and then you don't have to deal with any of that stuff.
We can end your pain. It's
so the really crazy part about that was, I guess it was back in like October or so, because that was supposed to go into effect in like March or May of 23 was when the expansion to mental illness was going to happen for MAID. And in like September or October, I want to say it was, they put the program on the back burner. And like they've tabled it for the time being because the doctors were refusing to participate. They were like, no, we are not going to suggest that mentally ill people just need to kill themselves. Like, fuck you. You've crossed the line. Like, we get it. If somebody's living with chronic pain and there's no way that we can help them, okay. But like these people just like they need help. That's literally all they need is help. And we're going to suggest that they kill themselves instead of helping them. The doctors were like drawing a line in the sand. Like, we're not going to do this. So that got tabled. But like the whole MAID thing is fucking insane. Like the more you look into it, the more you're like, holy shit. And I mean, that's like the ultimate end game for fucking Obamacare.
Yeah. These people are the sociopaths that have no problem enacting these kinds of things. Like that lady in the UK was talking about, like, oh, they're just going to start offing us if we get too old or we're not productive enough. It's like, yeah, they probably will. It's clear that they don't view people as like human beings. They view, if you live in their country, they view you as their property, which is why they feel like they can raise the tax rates as high as they want. They own 100% of you. They just allow you to keep a little bit more. And they view people in other countries like, Jesus Christ, dude. Like all this stuff going on. I'm so sick of the whole Israel Gaza thing. I don't even want to talk about it, but it's just like, oh yeah, they ice fucking like 7 people accidentally. And it's just like Joe Biden is on. He's like, hey, I talked to Netanyahu. I let him know that this is bad. And they need to clean this up a little bit. Just like, dude, they're killing people. And they're just like, yeah, they just see him as pawns on a fucking chessboard or something. They don't give a shit. And there was something I saw. I think it was a clip of Michael Malice maybe on Tim Pool's show the other day, where there was this girl. I don't know. She might have been Canadian, might have been in America. I don't know. But she was one of these people who was, she had like a borderline personality disorder or something. And she was seeing a therapist and she's like scheduled to get, you know, offed. They scheduled her like medically assisted suicide or whatever, because she has mental illness. And she was seeing like a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist was saying, you know, it's not likely we're going to make any progress on this or something, like something just terrible that you wouldn't think a therapist would say to a child. I mean, she's like, she was young. She wasn't a child. She was probably like either in her teens or like early 20s or something. And yeah, it's just wild. She's like, yep, I'm scheduled to die like soon. Like, I don't want to live anymore. And that's just like, I mean, that's like textbook borderline personality. Like they all want to kill themselves at some point. Like the fact that you're just, I mean, it's crazy, man. It's absolutely crazy.
Oh yeah, did you see the 28-year-old Dutch girl or something that like has depression, and so she just scheduled her own suicide? I was like, yeah,
I'm chronically depressed.
I'm never going to get better, so I'm just going to off myself. It's like,
yeah, that might be the one I'm talking about. I don't know. I forget how old she was, but she wasn't like, you know, she wasn't my age. She's younger than me, and I mean, my thoughts on depression are just like, I think we've probably gone over it on the show, but it's like, I don't even know if I believe in it. There's so many things, like how much of depression can be cured by just going to the gym, getting outside. Yeah, like we talked about this the other day, where it's just like, get in shape first and see if you still feel the same way.
Well, and that's the thing, like that chick, she was didn't look like she was particularly healthy. Like she was kind of overweight. Like, I don't know, maybe if you just did something positive with your life,
just try something. It's just like, instead of sitting around moping, like, I don't understand that these generations that are coming up where they're just like, they have no motivation to do anything.
Or just work on your self-confidence. I mean, shit, you can be fat and still enjoy life and be like self-confident. I mean, this chick is like crushing it apparently.
Yep. Too hot to get a date. She is a little intimidating.
Well, that's because she might want to crush you. You're kind of a small guy.
Yeah, that's a lot of woman right there. That's a lot of woman. Yeah, she sits on you. That could be problems. But I mean, she's not like morbidly obese, I guess. She's a big gal, but she's definitely not too hot to get a date, put it that way.
Lauren Butler, 26, hasn't been on a date in almost a year, as males never approach her to ask her out for a drink. It's difficult being this hot, the Boston stunner told Jam Press. Men think I'm too beautiful to date or worry that I'll turn them down. Somehow I don't think that's the problem, but I don't know. Maybe. Maybe I have different tastes.
She looks, yeah. She needs to hang out with at some bars that the brothers like to hang out in.
Say, there's a particular demographic that would probably be more than willing to hit her up regularly.
Yeah, dude, the black dudes would be all over that, man. I mean, for those of you not watching the video, you really got to get on Rumble. Because, yeah, she was well endowed in certain areas, for sure. That, yeah, definitely a certain demographic gravitate toward.
She has 3.4 million followers on Instagram, where brazen blokes are regularly sliding into her DMs with cheeky pickup lines. However, in real life, the flirtatious fellows are suddenly shy.
Yeah, I you know, you do see a lot of this where it's like, I think just people don't have any social skills anymore. Like, well, the other thing is, like, women were complaining not too long ago about being catcalled and hit on in public and how we're supposed to leave them alone. And it's like, all right, you browbeat a fucking entire generation of young men to not approach women in public because it was harassment or something. Now they're not approaching you in public. I don't know. What do you want from them?
Have you seen the videos and the posts and stuff of these like younger women complaining because they'll shut a guy down and then he just moves
He didn't like, ask. You're not supposed to take no. Is it, like, no doesn't mean no.
It's like no only means no when no means no. Like, you have to understand which is which. Like, don't keep being so persistent unless we want you to be persistent, but we're not going to tell you which is which. Like, that's up to you to figure out.
Yeah, women are, there's something else, I will say. I have seen a bunch of those where it's like, this guy asked me out and I said no. And then he was just like, okay. And he gave up. I wanted him to put up more of a fight for me or something. And it's just like, these fucking games that they want to play. I don't blame dudes for just being like, yeah, okay, I'm out. There's plenty of women out there. Like, you're not the only one. And this one in particular that we were just showing is absolutely nothing special. So, I mean, yeah, she's certainly not my cup of tea, but there's definitely dudes that would be attracted to her. Not so attracted to her that they were too afraid to talk to her.
And to be perfectly fair, I'm not saying she's not pretty. She's attractive enough in the face. Like, she's just not.
She's definitely got one of those profiles that's only from like the shoulders up, all the pictures. And like, there'll be like a certain angle where she's got where her cans look really good. And then, yeah, just everything from like the neck up. And then, yeah, you fucking meet her and she catfishes you, man. I'm not speaking from experience, of course, but. She's one of those girls. And dude, a lot of guys are into that. I don't know why she's having trouble finding people. I don't know what younger people do. Any like 26-year-olds, like do they go out on dates? Do they go? Yeah. I feel like it's all online more and more. So yeah, there's,
I don't know. I know high school kids these days, like we used to like hang out at the, So when I was in high school, we were exceptionally dumbasses. We just hung out in the parking lot in front of the jail. That way, if like we got busted for something and we went to jail, we didn't have to worry about our vehicle getting towed. It was already out there. But and also most of the cops were like dealing drugs and stuff, and so they didn't care. Anyway, but like we actually hung out. Like kids don't cruise the strip and hang out and like go places and shit. I don't know what the fuck they're doing.
I think it's all like online now. It's all just like, yeah, sliding into their DMs, I guess. I don't know how that works exactly. But yeah, we would always just fucking hang out. You go to the fucking, dude, I hated going to the fucking mall though. That was so gay. You hang out there. Maybe you catch a movie or something, or you just go to the food court. You hang out at people's houses. That was always fun. I saw this bar. It's somewhere in California. And the entire bar is just somebody's like bungalow. It's like a house party. It's laid out like that. It looked pretty fucking cool, actually. Where it's like, yeah, inside it's just late. It looks like somebody's having a house party, but it's an actual bar restaurant kind of thing. And then like you can go into the backyard. You know, it was kind of cool. We did a lot of that.
I grew up out in the middle of nowhere. More often than not, we just end up sitting in a field somewhere on everybody, like everybody back their trucks in.
Of course. Yeah. We had a community golf course. We would hang out. Yeah. So, I mean, but we didn't have these fucking cell phones and everything. and the internet, like we had like dial up internet, dude.
Right. It was like when you went out, like when we would go hang out and stuff, it's like, who's going to be out tonight? I don't know. Whoever shows up, like,
yeah,
like nobody was coordinating anything. We just knew that we were all going to show up at the same place at some point and we would all hang out. Like,
right. Yeah. You had to call people's houses.
Yeah. But I had a buddy that they didn't have a house phone and his mom stayed with her boyfriend all the time. So that was where we all stayed because there was no way for anybody to get a hold of us when we were there. Like, then we could just do whatever the fuck we wanted without having to worry about our parents trying to like call and hunt us down.
Yeah. Yeah. You always have to have, well, everybody I knew had a house phone. So I wasn't a fucking hillbilly, but you always had that one group of like that one parent, like that one kid's parents who like nobody like knew that well. So they didn't, they would never call over there. And it was just like, every time I was like, yeah, I'm going to this guy's house. And it's just like, okay. And it's like, you spent a lot of time at his house. Like, yep. Because there's no way you're going to follow up to see if that's exactly where I'm going to be. And like, yeah, I mean, sometimes we were there, but the vast majority of the time it was just an excuse. It was an alibi that would never get fucking verified.
We always stayed the night at Tim's house because he didn't have a phone and nobody was going to check. And to be fair, I slept there more often than not. I think I slept in Tim's brother's bed more than his brother actually did.
Yeah. So I mean, to bring it back to this chick's point, I don't know what's going on with these younger generation, but I think they lack a lot of social skills. They don't have any game in person because they spend most of their time in front of computers. And it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, after like 10, 15 years of being told like, you know, all this like sexual harassment and things like that, don't approach women, don't be aggressive, like all that stuff, where they're just like, all right, I'm not going to risk it. I'm not intimidated by her good looks or something. I'm intimidated of what she could do to me if she doesn't want my advance. Unwanted advance can get you in a lot of trouble these days.
Well, you know, like we said, like that chick's not necessarily unattractive. She's just not really our cup of tea. Like but she still has much less of an excuse for not being able to find a date than like this person right here. Where'd it go?
Oh yeah. Yeah. This is a good one.
There we go.
No one's going to marry you, Hernan. Like, you have a beard. Mm. No one's going to date you, Hernan. You have a beard. No one's going to be your boyfriend, Hernan. You have a beard. You are not a preference to a lot of men. And then I'll get, like, really feminine men message me, but that's not who I'm attracted to, you know? I like really masculine men because I am very soft. I'm so different to what you see, like, on TV, you know, on TV.
Well, I've never seen you on TV.
Generally, you'll see, oh, she's strong, she's, you know, what she's talking about is very powerful, whatever people say. But then at home, I'm very quiet. You know, I'm very feminine. I'm very soft. People don't get to see that side of me, you know. But no, it has been difficult. Where I wanted to be married and have kids, I would never be a single mom. That's not what I've ever wanted.
Dude, yeah. I couldn't believe when I saw this. I mean, she's got style for sure. Justin is jealous of this chick's beard. He wishes he could grow his beard out like that.
Anytime mine starts to get out that long, it just gets real scraggly looking. I don't know.
That's pretty scraggly. So this, I mean, if you're just listening to this episode, she probably sounded like a nice girl. They got a little accent, you know. If you're looking at her, she looks like a jihadist from America. I mean, like, she's got this bushy fucking beard, and I don't understand why. She's essentially complaining that she can't find a man to date her because she has a beard. It's like, yeah, shave the beard. Like, this is hard. This is complicated. And I get all these feminine. Yeah, you're getting gay dudes that you know, like gay, like tranny guys that want to date some chick with a beard. So, yeah, of course they're going to be feminine.
So apparently she has some sort of a medical condition that causes her facial hair to grow like that. Like,
I didn't know that. I thought it was optional.
No, well, keeping it is also not necessarily. keeping it is also not optional because she's a Sikh and they're not allowed to cut their hair. So even like for women, that includes like shaving. So she's like religiously, like by her religion, she is forbidden. So instead of like, I gotta say, like, as I scrolled through and I was looking at some stuff on it, like after the video got done, I respect it. It's definitely like, you know, you're gonna
have a lot bad for making fun of her.
You're gonna have
you need
a lot
to change
of
your religion though. Switch right. religions. Shave your fucking face. I'm sorry.
Like I guess I respect the dedication. I mean that's dedication.
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of.
I didn't realize. I thought she was just like I thought she was transitioning or something and complaining that she couldn't find a guy.
No, medical condition and her religion just like. Life dealt her a bad hand. I mean, I get, you know, like you said, you can change your religion, but I mean, if that's what she believes, then that's what she believes, and I can respect it. It's yeah. I mean, short of a lifestyle change, though, she's gonna struggle.
It's gonna be tough then. Yeah. I mean, well, the guys in that religion should be used to that then. I guess at least some facial hair.
Well, I don't think
wait. So you can't cut your hair.
Right.
Any hair?
The men don't either.
But like,
what usually about it's not a problem for women because head. women don't usually have all that facial hair.
And they can't. I'm assuming she can't take some sort of hormone thing to get rid of the beard.
Probably not. I don't know.
Yeah. Can she wax it?
I mean, at this point, even if she did start taking like a hormone,
find a loophole. Yeah. Find a loophole. Just wax it and then start using lasers.
Do a little chemo and get it to fall out.
Yeah. All right, now I feel bad for making fun of that girl. Shit. I watched that video and I was like, all right, yeah, this just seems like one of these kids that's like trying to become a man and then like complaining that no men want to date her.
Well, here, you can make fun of this one because this is 100% a personal choice.
Okay.
Well, to an extent, anyway.
Oh, Jesus.
Transgender yeah. woman who flew to Turkey for an 8,000-pound gender reassignment surgery suffered serious internal injuries after being made to walk 2 miles with a dilator inside of her following her vaginoplasty.
Yeah. I mean, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. I don't know how she was made to walk 2 miles. I don't know. I didn't read this article, but it's just like, again, these things, they're just, it's so stupid. What are you trying to accomplish here? I was listening to some old Loveline clips the other night. I was just bored. And some, this is like, I mean, this is in the 90s, like a transvestite called in and they asked her if she was going to get she or he, I forget which one it was. It's one of those, one of the two genders. Yeah. But if she was going to get, she was going to get a dick put on or something. And she's like, I don't know. I'm really afraid of that. Like I've read horror stories about this and the risks just don't seem to be worth it. And then they went over like, yeah, some of the things they got to do. And it's just like, yeah, dude, like 30 years ago, this was, like they were just like, yeah, no. And they still haven't figured out much since then. These things are always a disaster. And best case scenario, you just have this weird thing in between your legs that's not really usable in either scenario.
I'd rather have the chick that's big enough to crush me to death than whatever is going on with.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think this chick, she's like, yeah, it would just be kind of like you get like a 4-inch dick that doesn't work. Who wants that? It's like, that, dude, if maybe that's what that guy had, which he's like, all right, let me try out this vagina thing. Maybe that's what's happening.
So disappointed with the dick life dealt him that he's like, well, this wasn't working. Time to try.
Yeah, this is worthless. Let me try this thing out. Maybe that's it. And then I can't blame him. I'm like, yeah, dude, sorry, man. You were dealt a shit hand. But you don't have to like double down on the shitty hand and make everything worse.
You know, if we were in Scotland, we could be pushing on getting ourselves thrown in jail for the conversations we're having today.
Yes. Yeah, this is great.
J.K. Rowling could be arrested for misgendering trans people. She is warned. So J.K. Rowling could be arrested in Scotland for making a series of posts misgendering trans women under a newly enacted hate crime law, a politician in the UK has warned. This is concerning for two reasons. One, the targeting of children, but also free speech infringements. Hate crime legislation is merely a socially acceptable way to brand censorship. Now the reality is on the chopping block. Maybe people will wake up. There was some follow-up on this. So what's really fun about this story, because there's been a lot of speculation over how this is, like, what's going to happen with this. And J.K. Rowling is probably the most high-profile person on the planet that has been called a TERF and gone after for her position on the trans stuff. And more or less, she called their bluff. She was like, I'm not taking it down. So if you want to fucking arrest me, then you can come fucking arrest me. But like I said what I said, and this is what I believe. This is the objective truth, and I'm not taking it down. Your law is bullshit. Do what you got to do. And they basically were like, yeah, well, we're not gonna
call their bluff. Yeah. Well, good for her, dude. It is absolutely ridiculous, dude. And it's about time other people stand up to this. I mean, she's got the FU money to do it. But yeah, we're not going to play this game. It's a stupid game. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't jive with reality. How is anybody going along with this? And it's so like, I don't know, man. It's just really frustrating to watch people. They're so afraid of losing the crumbs that they have, that they'll go along with this shit. Even like young people, dude. You ever seen those man on the street interviews or something? They'll ask like a 20-year-old how many genders there are, and like their friend will be next to them, be like, oh, you can't, don't answer that. You can't say that. And they're like whispering them, like try to protect them. You're 20 years old. What do you have to lose? Like, just stand up to the retardedness.
Right? Like, if you think I don't give a fuck what people think about me now, you should have seen me when I was in my 20s. Holy shit, like, that was peak level don't give a fuck. Like, now I actually have gainful employment that I might need to, you know, try to keep. Back then, I didn't have shit going on. Like, fuck.
Yeah.
What the fuck's going to happen? They're going to kick me out of college? Okay.
Right. Yeah, they're doing you a favor. It's just like, yeah, man. And you really, I mean, nowadays you really do have to structure your life around being like completely independent, like be able to support yourself financially and everything. If they're going to come at you for saying what you believe. And generally speaking, you know, if you're just saying it to nobody, they don't really care. Like, yes, it's easy. I can say whatever the fuck I want. And like, they're not going to come after me. I don't have millions and millions of listeners, at least not yet. But so like, they don't give it like it's the way they come after you is sort of proportional to how many people are listening to you. But if more and more people will just stop going along with this, it loses momentum. They get high off of getting you to capitulate to their ridiculous demands. So just don't do it. And more often than not, like in the J.K. Rowling, you call their bluff. It's like, you really want to go down this path? You really, really want to go down this path? And they're just like, no, not really.
Well,
most of them
really
are cowards. And the people that are enforcing it are only doing it because they get cheap virtue signaling points. If you actually force them to back up their cheap rhetoric, they fold.
I was going to say the really fun part about it is most of them are idiots. Like, they're in that 15% that Corey was talking about earlier, and like, they can't defend their own positions. So you, instead of caving to them and like letting them have the upper hand because they're going to call you a racist or a bigot or something, just start asking them questions. They can't defend their own positions. They don't even know what the fuck they're talking about more often than not. And when they do start giving their defenses are even more ridiculous than the position that they hold to begin with. So like it doesn't take a lot to derail these people and get them all flustered. And then usually they'll really double down on calling you a racist or a bigot or whatever else, or they'll just block you or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've never been challenged on these ideas. If anybody, like, if you're ever challenged on them, they all just fall apart immediately, which is why they just start shrieking at every level. They just start shrieking the second you challenge them. Oh, you can't challenge it. This is the way I feel. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, well, you're an idiot or there's something mentally wrong with you. I don't know what to tell you, but I'm not going along with this anymore. Like this is just, it's gone to a level where it's just, it's so insane. It's so insane. You'll just be much happier if you don't have to live a life of like fearing these people, whatever retribution they're going to come at you with. Anyway, what else we got? We got a few more minutes, right?
Yeah. Just a couple minutes.
How are we doing on time?
let's see. As we wind down, you want to talk about how natural disasters are actually the fault of white men. If you sure. weren't aware, you and I are the primary cause of just about every natural disaster and everything else that's wrong with the world. So this chick says, I'm not an activist. I'm a killjoy. I am what reminds white supremacy of its present day wretchedness. I'm sorry. I don't feel very wretched in my white supremacy, but you can feel wretched for me, and that's cool. She says, it is my job to make clear that in the process of killing and consuming non-white, non-male bodies, the white man has brought life as we know it to the verge of extinction.
There's a video, right, where she's talking? Yes, yeah.
The climate crisis is not
possible. I can't hear
it. The climate crisis is not a result of natural disasters. It's actually man-made. It's a result of...
I'll say it again, because I think they missed it.
The climate crisis is man-made. And it's not just man-made, it's white man-made.
The climate crisis is man-made, and it's not just man-made, it's white man-made.
Yeah. Yeah.
The evil white man.
Right. Okay. Yeah, let her keep. You can't really hear it.
It is a result of capitalism. There's a colonialism. There's a racial oppression.
Racial oppression.
And so, if you want to get involved, the way that we save our planet is when we protect the most vulnerable communities among us.
We have to protect the most vulnerable communities.
Black trans women.
Black trans women have to be protected.
Who is indigenous peoples? This is why it includes children and young folk. Because when we protect them, then we can protect everybody else.
And they have to, the reason that they have to indoctrinate children and all this bullshit is because they have to protect the children from the evil white man who's responsible for the climate crisis and colonialism and capitalism.
Blah, blah. Imagine thinking as long as we just protect black trans women, we're going to say that will save the world somehow. That's going to change the weather, Justin. If we protect 0.00001% of the population, I don't even know how you protect them from what exactly
themselves.
More often than not. Yeah. Protect them from getting these ridiculous surgeries. Tornadoes will stop. What? Who lets these people, who gives these people a fucking microphone and they clap to that? It's just like this just has to be a room full of fucking women. First of all, it sounded like a room full of women. You can't see anything other than this chick talking. And she's, I don't know, she's just like a young chick that has no life experience, has no fucking brain cells rattling around between her ears. It's man-made and it's white man-made.
Somebody, I think this is a problem of no fathers in the home, or at the very least, complete pussy, like useless fathers who won't say anything. Like, they need...
Who is raising these kids?
20-year-old girls that say stupid bullshit like this need somebody to have stood up to them in their life and told them, you don't know a goddamn thing. Shut the fuck up and go sit in the corner.
Or just like show them a good male role model of some sort so they don't just hate all men. Like, I'm sorry that some man did something to you, but like, yeah, I don't know if they had a good father figure in the house yet. I don't think they would hold these opinions. I don't know. It's just like, I could just take this microphone and be like, yeah, climate change is woman made. And it's not just woman made. It's minority woman made.
You know what goes into tampons? It's absolutely woman made. The stuff. Yeah. That's, I mean,
I don't know.
Definitely a bigger contributor.
What are we talking about here? What did the white man, colonialism, I guess. And what else did she
capitalism.
Say?
Capitalism.
Yeah. Capitalism is affecting the weather, I guess. Yeah. I mean, okay. Would you prefer the alternative? If you think it sucks right now under this white supremacy society, would you like it under, say, like a Mao Zedong or a Stalinist regime where there's no capitalism? I believe there was still weather. I think there was still some weather back then. And a lot of people were dying. A lot of people were dying. And it didn't seem like that was the fault of the, at least not the traditional white man. I don't know. It's just so goddamn stupid. I don't understand how they can get away with saying these things. Again, I don't know what they're trying to do here other than just anger the people that have apparently been oppressing them this whole time. It's like, okay, let's hypothetically, we were oppressing them throughout history. Okay. And we took our foot off the gas on that. We gave them a little slack. And now then they come at us with this. What's the end game here? Do you want them to oppress you more?
Right.
They're not going to
be oppressing them harder. I don't know. Like, we're.
Okay. Like, if I have two, like, if the white man has two choices, one is to be oppressive and dominant, and the other one is to be dominated and oppressed, which one do you think they're going to choose?
I have a theory that the patriarchy always wins. Somebody is giving these moronic women a platform. Somebody is putting female CEOs and CFOs and COOs in charge of companies. Somebody is putting female directors with female writers in charge of all female casts to make these horrible movies. I suspect that it's a bunch of old white men that are like, all right, if we really want to flip this fucking thing on its head, we give them all the power that they claim they want and just sit back and watch as they burn the whole fucking thing to the ground. And then we get to come back and be like, sorry, you tried, you failed miserably. Now it's our turn to go back to doing what we do best. Get back to the kitchen. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't put it past some of these people playing some 4D chess, but I don't know. I mean, it could also just be the natural extension of this whole movement that started kind of when we were much younger, and it's just accelerating. And it's just, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like all the DEI stuff.
Well, it's like the article action. I talked about on Tuesday on my show, like the wokeness crisis. Like the further this shit pushes in the direction of just blatantly insane, the further people start to distance themselves from it. Like the average person, progressivism kind of started out as, you know, everybody should be equal. And then it became Animal Farm. Like some animals are more equal than others. And as they have continued to push that insanity, a lot of people the world over have started to kind of wake up and look at it and be like, this might not be a good thing. But also at the same time, while it objectively doesn't look like it's a good thing, they also continue to push even further in that direction. So, like, I mean, it's what's the snake that eats its own tail? Like, it's that. Like, it's going to eat itself.
Yeah, and it's kind of good. It's nice that it's accelerating. I don't think there's much gas left in the tank of this kind of movement. They've really overplayed their hand. And I just hope there's more J.K. Rowlings out there to put the kibosh. It's just so ridiculous. And the fact that they can just get away with talking about groups of people like that. You know, if you're like a white or a Christian or something like they can say whatever the fuck they want, apparently. And I don't know how much longer they're going to take it. And I don't think you want to see I don't think you want to poke that bear anymore. It's like, all right, yeah, he'll let you fuck with him a little bit, but you're getting a little too confident. You're taking it a little too far. And I don't think you're going to like where this ends up. I mean, yeah. Think of what the world would look like without capitalism and the white man. Where would that? What was that chick? What was her nationality? She wasn't white, clearly, but
yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, she looked like Iranian or something. I don't know, but like, picture the world without free market capitalism to the extent that we've had it, and colonialism. Just look around the rest of the world. How are those places doing so far?
Right, like
that don't have it, or that were late to the party.
Right, like immigrants and slaves built all of these other societies. When are they going to start building their own?
Yeah, well, and it's just like, I mean, there's a reason why people are like, people come over the border this way. Well, I'm in Mexico now, but you know what I mean. There's a reason why, you know, people are from fucking Cuba are hopping on rafts built of milk cartons going through shark infested waters to get to the United States of America. There's reasons why people are walking from fucking Honduras to the United States. It's not because of racist white supremacy colonialism. It's for opportunity. And those opportunities, like they've done a tremendous job of destroying the opportunities in the U.S. with these ridiculous notions of progressivism.
I would like to see that chick go make that speech in a country that hasn't had capitalism, colonialism, and white supremacy. Like
it's such a privileged position to have, to borrow one of their words. Like, imagine going to like a fucking third world country where kids have to start working at age 5 just to have enough food to make it to the next day. And you're like, and you're talking about like, oh yeah, like the temperature went up like a half a degree because of capitalism. Like, she's got her fucking iPhone, I'm sure, and her MacBook, and she goes to Starbucks and gets her $6 cup of coffee. Or not, she doesn't get a coffee, dude. She gets like one of those things that, you know, it's like a laundry list of things to put in a cup. I don't even know what they call those orders, but you know, like, it's an unbelievably privileged position to take that is just so disconnected from the vast majority of the world, the history of the world, the history of humans on this planet, like how far we've come and what it used to be like. It wasn't too long ago when people were living on $1 a day in the U.S. It was not that long ago. And now you have that, like, you have this tremendous country that was built up through the ideas of capitalism. And they've just been chipping away at it for the last 100 years. And now look at the result. Look at the result. And look at the result of every time the alternative's been tried. I saw somebody posted on Twitter. There was like, what's the best argument against socialism? Like, give me your best argument against socialism. And I was like, do you mean besides history? Like, besides every time it's been tried? Besides that, I was like, well, the economic calculation problem, which probably has no idea what that is. And you can't really elaborate that in a Twitter post. But it's just like, yeah, I don't understand how you can look at what's been tried throughout the history of man and conclude that capitalism is the problem. What are you fucking talking about? Like, what are you talking? It might not be a perfect system, but it's certainly the best one we've come up with so far. So if you have a better idea, whatever that chick's name is, I'm all ears. But it can't just be like, this is bad. It's, you know, capitalism sucks, white man, colonialism, racism, bad. Okay, what's the alternative? What would you prefer? And if you're dusting off socialism, communism, and rebranding it as some, you know, some stupid word that you came up with, no, that's not going to work for me. I can see through the rebranding and I can cut through all the bullshit and know that you're just bringing back something that has killed hundreds of millions of people, starved them to death, has been one of the most destructive forces on the world, far more so than any of these climate change things that have taken place over the years. I mean, what's their biggest, like the worst case scenario for climate change models? How many people are going to die? Is it more than Mao Zedong killed? Is it? Like, that's an honest question. Because, I mean, we're talking hundreds of millions of people have suffered and died under communism.
Let's look it up.
I mean, I guess they're talking billions, right? Because the world's going to just implode or something.
Here we go. Climate change would cause 83 million excess deaths.
There you go.
So 83 million more people than
what. That's like half of what Mao Zedong accomplished. Right. Was he at 160 or is that just 100 million? Nice round number.
Roughly 100. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But if you know, throw in the rest of the socialists and it's about half. Okay. Now imagine if we bring that back and you have climate change. That will really destroy the world. I will take capitalism to combat climate change any day of the week and twice on Sunday versus socialism. And I think history backs me up on that. Current events back me up on that. It's all things considered, it's a pretty nice place to live under capitalism. And every time you cut away at it, you chip away at the cornerstones of capitalism, like property rights, like they're trying to do in the UK and in the US and things like that, you're not going to get a very good result. Not going to happen. And I was joking around the other day, like, why aren't they putting all of these migrants in these empty office buildings?
Right. You've got space for them.
Yeah, and that's where they should be squatting. Like, could you imagine if you just like took over the fucking Sears Tower or something as a squatter, and then they couldn't kick you out, and you own the building?
Let's see. They put Mao's numbers close to 100 million, but historians have dialed that back to say he only actually killed like 68 million because somewhere in the neighborhood of 35 million died from famine, not as a direct cause.
Yes. Right. Not as a, he didn't actually shoot them in the head.
Right.
Okay.
They died because of the circumstances that were created, not because of the actual communism itself. So it's like, we gotta give
him, no, that's don't because give him
credit for killing more people than what he actually did.
Okay. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm sure that was the fault of the white man somehow. And our colonialism.
You know what? I bet he got the idea for communism from Karl Marx. So it was the fault of a white man.
That's true. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. But not the capitalist white man. That's for sure. It's God, man. What a sad state of affairs. What a sad state of affairs.
All right. I got to get ready to go. You want to wrap up on something that's just dumb and funny?
Yes, absolutely.
This is a letter or a post in this guy's homeowners association Facebook group.
Yeah, so, real quick. This is, again, don't ever buy a fucking condo.
Just a gentle reminder to please close your windows when cooking meat. As a vegan runner, it's always hard for me.
I try to go out running several nights a week around dinner time, and when you're cooking with the windows open, the smell of meat can be quite overpowering. Honestly, the odor is offensive. Please have empathy for your plant-based neighbors by closing windows when cooking meat and only cooking vegetables if possible. I do not want to be a stereotype, so I won't go into detail on why cooking animals is offensive, but I encourage you to do your research and join the movement with others who are fighting back.
Motherfucker, I'm gonna set up like two grills and sit outside every night and just watch for you.
I would just start cooking. I would just have meat cooking at all times now. It would just be, I just have a smoker going. Just have a fucking smoker going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Brisket, chicken, ribs, whatever. Yeah. I'm never letting that thing get cold.
Vegans are the most obnoxious, insufferable people on the face of the earth. I bet that chick that was talking about climate change is a vegan. She better be, because cows. But yeah, dude, your plant-based neighbors. Oh my God, dude. And the smell is offensive. Run in the morning.
I would just go stand outside. Bacon, it's better. I just go sit, cause I guarantee you it's a chick. I just go stand outside this chick's house and wait for her to start cooking with the windows open and be like, I can smell you boiling carrots. Could you please stop? That's highly offensive to my delicate sensibilities.
Yeah.
I am on a strictly meat-based diet for the environment. I'm trying to take care of the cows that are causing all of these carbon emissions. And if you could please just close your windows when you're boiling carrots, that would really help me out a lot. Thank you.
I don't want to be a stereotype. It's like, that's way too late, hon.
Did you put any butter in those carrots? Oh my God, really?
Yeah. Or like, dude, I can smell your vegan-based cheese.
Oh, God. I can.
It's like, yeah. What? Oh God, dude! Vegan food is—it is, for the most part, pretty goddamn disgusting. But it's just—they can't. Who posts that? The nerve of somebody be like, "Hey, don't open your windows while you're cooking because you're offending my delicate nasal cavity, my sense of smell."
Man, I'd be calling all of my neighbors on both sides of the street and be like, you want to just line our grills up every day at about the time that she runs? That way we can like just like yell back and forth at each other, make sure we're drinking some like really strong beer.
Dude, and just, I don't know what it is about like that. That kind of person just did not exist. Even if you were a vegan like 50 years ago, you wouldn't expect the entire condo to bend to your needs. Don't run at dinner time. Run at 9 o'clock at night when everybody's done cooking and the smell has gone away, or run in the morning. Like you adjust your lifestyle to things that bother you. You don't demand that everybody else does it.
If she started running in the morning, I'd be making sausage and bacon every morning with the windows open and a fucking fan blowing at the road.
Right. But it's like, there are times of day where you could get your run in and you wouldn't have to put up with the smell of meat. I know it's so offensive. Or you could get yourself a fucking treadmill, run indoors. I don't know. But this idea that people have to conform, they have to change what they're doing because it offends you, is there's nothing more infuriating. And there's nobody that embodies that mentality more than vegans. And for the dumbest reasons too.
Be like
I chose this retarded diet. You need to adjust your lifestyle so that I'm not offended.
Just be like, just run with your mask on. That'll protect you from any of that.
Yeah, there's nose plugs. Breathe through your mouth.
Then you really taste it.
Mm-hmm. Well, then it's like she's almost eating meat. Yeah. She's eating the smell of it. Half the taste is in the smell anyway. Yeah, this is just so stupid. It's so fucking stupid, man. I can't believe that people have this. And who is raising these people? Where are these fathers? If I had a kid that wanted to be a vegan, first of all, they'd just be constantly ridiculed. Oh, wow. Yeah, sure. If you want to do that. But you don't get to come up with all these ridiculous demands of other people. You chose to be a vegan. These are the consequences of your choices. So deal with it. You don't get to demand, and it doesn't matter. Like substitute veganism with anything else, whatever it is, you don't get to demand that the rest of the world bend over for you. I don't know who is instilling this mentality in these younger generations. I feel like I was probably the last person that was born before this started. Everybody else younger than me has this sort of instinct where it's like, oh, I don't like that. Everybody else should change. It should be illegal. There should be a law. This, that, and the other thing. No, that's not the way the world works. I'm sorry. And these parents that are raising kids like this, you're fucking destroying the world. Going back to my love, like, dude, there's so many love line clips where there's like 17 year olds having a bunch of kids. And Adam Carolla is just like, don't get pregnant. Stop having kids. Give those kids up for adoption. Like, you're going to ruin the fucking world. And here we are, 30 years later, and now we're dealing with them. Yep. So probably the best case for abortion that's ever made. Anyway, do we have a shithole Chicago segment? I feel like we didn't do that this week. I
haven't seen anything.
I could have sworn there was at least one.
Are we doing a happy hour tonight? I don't think I'm going to be able to. I've had a stupid busy day, and this is my first day off work. So I'm aside from like about a 25 minute power nap earlier today, I haven't slept since this time yesterday. I've been up for close to 24 hours straight, and I've still got to get my kids, and I got other shit I got to do. I'm probably after I pick up the kids from work, I'm probably gonna crash. But I can get you set up if you want to do it.
Yeah, I can do one without you. I guess I can carry the team. Do it for 7:30. 7:30 Central Standard Time. We'll get it going. I'll throw back a few. I don't know how long I'll go either, but we'll see how it goes. Last one was pretty fun when we did your live stream.
Yeah, that was highly entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah, that was interesting. That was interesting. What, and that, you don't normally do that on Fridays?
We do it every so often. Like, we do it once every month or two. So
yeah. Yeah, we'll get it going for the supporting listeners of the show. You want to hang out tonight with me and not the hillbilly boy. We'll get that going at 7:30 Central Standard Time. And don't be late, because without Justin there, if you're 45 minutes late or something, I'm going to be gone. So, yeah, be on time. So, yeah, that's it. You got anything else going on?
Not that I can think of.
Cool. Well, have a nice weekend, everybody. We will be back on Tuesday with a brand new episode for you. And until then, you know the drill. Just keep on peddling that so-called fiction. Peace.